From the very moment that Adam and Eve fell into sin, God has devised a plan for redemption for mankind. We read of this account in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Here we read, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" We find God beginning the process of man's redemption. We go a little farther into the Old Testament to Genesis chapter 12. And we find God making a promise to Abraham that through his seed there would be great nations, a great nation, and that mankind will be blessed. And we can trace this lineage of Abraham and see that Jesus was indeed the fulfillment of the promise that was made to Abraham. You know, Christ, he gave up the glory of heaven to come to this life, to live for us, to live with us, and to give his life as a ransom for us, so that indeed he would bruise the head of Satan as promised in Genesis chapter 3. We read in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." You know, each week we come together to honor Christ, our Savior. We honor him through taking of the communion. We remember the body that he gave on the cross. We remember the blood that he shed each week, so that we will know and understand what Jesus has done for us. But you know, sometimes I wonder, do we really stop and recognize the significance of what took place that day on the hill called Calvary? Do we really understand the words of submission that Jesus made from the cross on that day while he still hung there, dying for the sins of the world? What I want to do this morning, I want us to take a look specifically at the things that Jesus said from the cross. And I want it to really sink into our hearts today to help us understand the tremendous love that came from God there on that day on Calvary, and the love that came from the words of the mouth of Jesus himself as he hung there on that cross, giving his life for you and for me. Jesus made seven statements on that day that we have record of. He may have said more, we don't know. We have seven statements written in the Gospels of the things that Jesus had to say. Statements of forgiveness, statements of fellowship, statements of conflict, and statements of exhaustion. And then the final two statements were statements of completion, that he had done what he came to do. He had achieved his purpose in coming to this earth. And all of that we understand from these seven things that Jesus spoke. So let's take a look at each one very briefly and talk about what came from the voice of Calvary. First of all, there was the voice of intercession. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Jesus, while on the cross, said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." You know, his first statement was literally a prayer for those who were putting him to death. His statement was for the Jews. They knew that he was innocent, and a lot of them knew and realized that he was actually the fulfillment of prophecy that had been given in the Old Testament. They had the evidence that proved that he was the Messiah. He was the King. He was the Son of God. But yet he hangs on the cross anyway. He is being put to death, God's only Son. And Jesus says, "Forgive them. They don't understand." This prayer was also for the Roman soldiers who was putting him to death, who was carrying out the orders of their commander. They were ignorant of the fact that he was the Son of God. They were simply doing their job. They were obeying their rulers. And his prayer was for them. There is one thing for sure. This statement by Jesus on the cross was a selfless statement. Jesus, while hanging there by those nails, was not thinking about himself. He was thinking about the people that he came to save. He was thinking about the ones who had put him on that cross. He was thinking about the multitudes of people that he was going to the cross for. He was not thinking of himself. And now this life that he has lived, even though it was short, has completed its journey. He has now done exactly what God had wanted him to do. And with loving mercy, he still asks that these people be forgiven. Next, we have the voice of mercy. Luke 23 and verse 43, Jesus says to the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." This statement of Jesus proclaimed pardon. And again, we need to remember that that's why he came to the cross to begin with, to pardon you and me and all mankind from their sin. And yet, even before his death, he issued pardon to someone who had shown love and understanding toward him. You know, Jesus has promised mercy to all whose hearts are pure. In fact, we read from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You know, the thief on the cross, he realized the power of Jesus, and he looked into that man's heart, and he forgave him. Now, we also need to understand that the salvation of this thief does not constitute the pattern of our salvation today. This happened before Jesus died on the cross. The old law was still in effect. You see, God has always been able to save. God has always been able to forgive sin. We go throughout the Old Testament and we find several instances where God literally forgave men their sin. He has always been able to forgive sin. It was the law, the old law, that could not forgive sin. But now, at the death of Jesus, when the New Testament dispensation comes into play, sins can be forgiven for everyone. Mercy is extended to us today, just as it was extended by Jesus to this one thief on the cross. The voice of mercy. Next, we have the voice of affection. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. To his mother he said, "Woman, behold your son." And to John the disciple he said, "Behold your mother." This statement shows human thoughtfulness for others on the part of Jesus. Really, so did his first statement in "Father, forgive them." He's wanting the world to know that he cares. He's wanting the world to know that he loves mankind, which is why he is where he is, because of the love that he has. And even though he is in pain and agony, he is still looking to be thoughtful for those around him, especially for his mother. And his mother was there. And Mary was destitute and in a state of grief. And even in his dying moments, Jesus was filled with tender regard for his mother and asked that John take care of her. This is a wonderful example of the Lord's care. And this statement, my friend, should be etched on our hearts. He made a welfare for her in his dying moments. And we need to understand the fact that we need to care for one another with a loving heart. You know, secular history tells us that Mary lived with John in Judea until the time of her death, which occurred some 15 years later. John fulfilled that promise that he made to Jesus on the cross to take care of his mother. The next voice we have is the voice of desertion. It comes to us from Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, this is the only time in Scripture that we have that Jesus calls his Father, my God. These words of Jesus is actually a direct quote from the psalmist David, Psalm 22 and verse 1. David is writing here in anguish himself. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is a prophecy of David, describing Jesus on the cross and the feelings in his heart of desertion. You know, in order to be the perfect sacrifice, Jesus had to experience this. He had to experience a full separation from the Father. Now, we read of this separation in Isaiah chapter 53. Again, this is a prophecy of what Jesus is going to go through. And it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. It was through his suffering, it was through his pain, that you and I today can be saved from eternal death. And the only way that this could happen was that God the Father basically desert him and turn his back and leave him on the cross to die. The next voice that we have is the voice of humanity. The words were simple from John 19, verse 28. I thirst. Have you ever been thirsty? Have you ever been to the point that when you take a sip of water, your mouth is so dry that it's almost as you haven't taken any at all? Have you ever had your mouth to feel like a sponge when you take that first sip if your mouth is dry? I don't think that would even compare to what Jesus was going through here on the cross. He had been on the cross for several hours, and now he's thirsty. You know, this brings out a side of Jesus that we really don't think very much about, and that is the human side. You see, Jesus was just as much human as you and I. You know, it may be difficult for us to understand the humanity of Jesus. But you know, he was just like you and me. If you hit him, he would bruise. If you cut him, he would bleed. He knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what it was like to be thirsty. He knew what it was like to be in pain. He knew what it was like to suffer. He knew what it was like to be disappointed. He knew what it was like to be sad in trial and tribulation. He encountered all of those things that you and I encounter in life. And perhaps we don't think about that because we think about him as the Almighty God, the powerful creator of the universe, the sustainer of life, which he was. But while he was here, he was as human as you and I. And he went through the same feelings that you and I went through. But he had to become like us in order to do what he did for us. He was really human because he was in agony on that cross. The last two statements of Jesus are voices of victory. The voice of victory, John 19, verse 30. It is finished. Actually, he only spoke one word. The Greek word teleo. The Greek word teleo simply means accomplishment, ending, or fulfillment. And by uttering this word on the cross, Jesus has summed up the whole of man's redemption. It is done. It is complete. All that had been prophesied, all that had been foretold, had now been accomplished. He had done it all. And that's why he was able to make this next statement, his voice of death. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. This word of victory was followed by a word of rest. It was a demonstration what physical death on his part would do for the saints. It was not a leap into the dark or into the unknown world. It was a homecoming. For him, it was a homecoming. For us, it is a homecoming. Because he finished his work, you and I will not have to face spiritual death. Like him, we will have to face physical death. He overcame physical death. And as a result of it, we will be able to overcome spiritual death. You and I can be free from sin. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of sin, of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning, my friends, he did this for me and you. You and I sit here today as part of his kingdom. We sit here today as the result of his love, in his coming, in his living, in his dying. Jesus overcame death 3 days later, and this is a symbol that you and I as well can overcome death if we will allow him to be a part of his life. All he is asking in return is that you and I give our lives to him. My question to you this morning is, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to come today in faith? Are you willing to repent of the sins that are in your life? Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God? Are you willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins? You know, Paul says, "For do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him in through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised by the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We have the promise of God because Jesus went to the cross. So this morning, my friends, if you're not a Christian, we implore you to give your life to the Lord. And if you have stopped your Christian walk for whatever reason, we implore you to come back to the Lord, to live for him once again. Remember all that he has done for you. And he asks so little in return. And the benefit is eternal. So this morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.